All right, everybody. Joel Radio. Hi. Joel here, your pal, your podcasting buddy. I got Corey Hall sitting with me. How you doing, Corey Hall?
Shalom.
Movie critic and all-around good fella, Corey Hall.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say
sure.
about you.
Sure.
I don't know.
Good fella. Sure.
Oh, hey,
I ran out of stuff to say.
Hey, in the time since we've been gone...
Yeah, it's been a little bit.
I think 45 people have started podcasts.
Probably.
211 comedians have started podcasts
oh, yeah.
on Facebook and are now proud of their work.
Wow, they should be.
It's episode number 7 of the of the Giggle Shits podcast.
That's a good one. I've heard Giggle Shits. They're funny.
Yeah. I'm gonna continue to be unimpressed by your podcasting. Considering when we started doing podcasting.
Let me just tell everybody, 30 seconds ago, Corey was having a good time.
Yeah.
He was having a fun. We were looking forward to the show. And then I turn on the mic, and off he goes.
I'm in it to win it.
You just immediately rip people. Like, we didn't even... I talked about what we're going to talk on the show.
No.
And then this just comes out of nowhere.
I just want to say this.
Okay,
and I've said this forever. Look, my opinion about other podcasters has been consistent. Fuck off. That's been my opinion since day one.
All of them?
Pretty much.
But wait, but there's guys that you like that podcast. I mean,
you know what's funny?
I guess they're more celebrities.
What's really
than
funny now
regular
is that
Joes.
I listen to podcasts all the time. I was just listening to WTF in the car, listening to me interview Simon Pegg.
There you go.
And I've met both those guys.
Okay.
Let me name drop.
Oh,
and
please.
I sat there and I'm like, I'm listening to two guys I've actually talked to, having a conversation for my entertainment. And I realized that's what our show is supposed to be.
Yeah, I guess.
Except we hear we're making new fans every week. So
we do. It's funny because that you hear, you know, like there's a guy in comedy. I'm not going to name his name, and he had nothing bad to say about me or the show. But he listened finally after all these years and mm-hmm. was like, "Oh, your fucking show's so funny, man! I listened to a bunch of them, and you should be on the radio and blah 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 and fucking sucking my nuts good." And I'm like, I've been doing this for 8 years, dude. I mean,
this is a recurring theme. And
the guy finally decided to listen after 8 years of me doing it.
And welcome
and then
aboard.
Said, oh, you're good.
And
oh,
welcome.
Okay,
and this gentleman is named after a condiment.
Come on now.
It's not really a condiment. It's a sauce.
Why do you do this when I say I'm not going to name the guy? I go, I don't want to name, and he had nothing bad to say, but I just don't want to, like, embarrass the guy.
I'm not embarrassing him.
He might be embarrassed by listening to the show. That's all. I don't want to. If it's his little secret, I don't want to out it.
It shouldn't be a secret. Be proud of it. I'm glad you're aboard.
Yes.
Listen and enjoy the
show.
Spread the word.
I'm going to mail him a Joel Radio t-shirt just for listening.
You do that.
I don't have any Joel
Radio t-shirt. We used to send people stuff. And we never we used to do a lot of things that we don't do anymore. But anyway.
Well, that's okay. We'll still do the show, and that's good.
If
it's
you're
been a
new
while,
listener,
yeah, new
call
listeners.
The hotline at 610-552-074. I had to look because I haven't done it in a while. 610-552-0746.
We got a call yesterday that was very odd, and I didn't even pull it for the show.
People call and leave. Like we do get calls,
it was like,
and we don't play them because they're like, I was in the bathroom and I saw the thing and the chicken. And
I got a call. It was like, is this the douchebag hotline?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was like an actual...
I think they're expecting us to pick up.
Yeah, I think they expect us
Hi,
to
how
pick,
are you? You're on the douchebag hotline.
Let me explain what the douchebag hotline is. It's a fucking voicemail line. You call, you leave your thoughts on the show, something you want us to play on the show. We don't answer the phone when it answers. It doesn't say, this is the douchebag hotline, this is Joel, leave your message. It's some generic thing, but just you can leave your message on there, we'll play them. I play lots of them on the show,
well,
but...
Maybe we'll enter 2013.
Yeah.
And get a phone line.
Where I'm actually on the...
And we'll take live calls.
Live calls.
We tried, I think we've had experiments with calling...
Here's what I could do. I could get like a Google Voice number that would like forward to my personal phone and then I can put it on because I can call out. You know, I can call out on the phone.
You just don't want to give anybody your phone.
But the problem is then the problem with doing it live too though, Corey, is that we have to be broadcasting live. Mm-hmm. Which means we have to tell the listeners, assemble at 6 p.m. on this day or that day, and we'll do a podcast. And we'll stream it out live, and then we'll make it a podcast later.
Well,
that's a lot more work,
it's an experiment.
It's an experiment, but, I mean, it's doable. It's not like it's not doable, but it's also, like, I think most people want to listen to the show at their leisure. you personally like to show up here at the Joel Radio Studios at your leisure. You know,
I would show up on time if we had a.
Oh, if you had, if you said we had a deadline, you would show up.
Yeah.
But when it's this soft, hey, I'm ready at 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Then you just roll in whenever you want.
Hey, I show up when the movie starts at 7 o'clock. I show up at 7 o'clock. Yeah. Okay. I know. No, they're right.
All right.
Because this has a loose.
Yeah. You don't even you go. Eh. I don't need to be there.
If we have a guest and it's not John, I usually show up on time.
Right. And, but we'll. If I have John, I'll start without you, though. That's the new rule,
I think,
though.
Okay, all right. If John actually beats me,
yeah.
Which almost never happens.
John beating you here, though, involves John, like, answering his phone. All those things, which...
Our guests are a little
John, yeah, John was could have come today. He was invited, but our friend John Tenney.
We welcome your input. New listeners,
absolutely.
Old listeners, closet listeners. I know there's people who listen to the show, take notes... Spread words about what we say and never tell us they listen to the show. But if you're a new listener and you're a comedy comrade, we welcome you. 610-552-0746. Leave your comments. I'm sure you're going to say all kinds of nasty stuff, some of you people out there.
When I say I'm not mentioning this guy's name, it means I'm not mentioning his name.
Gotcha.
And then, Corey, I would like you to not mention his name.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
I didn't mention a name.
Okay, but I'm just telling... There's a guy, when we did our bit about I'm deleting guys from Facebook because they're annoying.
Mm-hmm.
The guy I deleted from Facebook heard that show.
Mm-hmm.
And he contacted me and he was all pissed off. And I put out the fire. It was fine. It was not that big a deal with the guy. But his story was, and it's not even about him. His story was, there's somebody that listens to the show for the sole purpose, apparently, of reporting to other people what we say on the show. So there's like an information network.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're too busy or don't want to listen to Joel Radio, someone will listen and tell you all the bad things we say about people.
Yeah.
And that's out there now. Look, that's terrific. That makes you feel good.
Look, comedy's full of a little... there's a bunch of little finks. There's a bunch... Look.
Well, listen,
it's a business that draws social misfits, malformed intellects.
Yeah.
And bedwetters. It draws a class of people. The best comics in the world are insecure.
Sure.
The best comics in the world
absolutely.
Are quivering piles of jelly.
Yes.
And you realize
but
that...
But it's funny because we have had... I remember the guy... I don't want to mention this guy's name either, but he's been on the show. But there was a guy who heard we were trashing him. Do you remember that years ago? And he came on. He's kind of a big-name comic.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up coming on the show. Because he heard, and it's like, that was when, like, nobody was listening. That was, in the early days of podcasting.
We
that
were trashing him back then. But, you know.
Right, I'm not saying we weren't trashing him, but even he heard it. So I guess I shouldn't think that this show goes nowhere.
No, that's the wonderful thing about podcasting.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. Woody Allen, that obnoxious son of a bitch, I had to explain to my film group. I have a group of people that we watch movies and discuss. We have a film discussion group. That I'm the moderator of.
Okay.
I had to explain to them why I loathe Woody Allen's last 20 years of output in minute detail. And his new movie is exactly an example of that, if you want a full review.
Okay.
But his new movie, all the things about Woody Allen that make me insane.
Yeah.
All his out of touch kind of, his inability to connect to the modern world.
Yeah,
and put believable dialogue in people's mouths who live in the current state of the universe.
Yeah.
I had to explain that to them.
Yeah.
And I had a point. But what my point, I don't know what I was saying.
The show reaches people that we don't realize it reaches.
Well, I
think that's kind of what I was talking
I
about.
Lost it.
Okay,
somewhere
well, let
Woody
me go
Allen.
Back. Let Look. Me go back to the point. And we can talk about Woody Allen, although I haven't seen this new movie.
Yeah. Because
he's completely out of touch. I'm going to write that down. But let me finish my point here. Because sometimes I think this show only reaches, you know, a guy in Yellowknife and a guy in Germany. Because sometimes those are the only guys that write and tell us about
it. You know, they say about...
About
talk radio.
Yeah.
Even shows that have huge audiences, shows that have millions of listeners.
Yeah.
93% of the people will never call in.
Right. So I guess there are people that listen, and I see the stats, and I see that, you know, hundreds and thousands of people are listening, and then I go, okay.
I don't think we have, it's not like we have millions of listeners.
We don't have misses, but we have hundreds and thousands.
But when we have, we have people that will never call back and respond.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That's okay. We're glad you like the show. Tell people you like the show.
Right.
We never have ever really proselytized in favor of the show and said, hey, spread the word. It's been kind of an accidental
thing.
It's
more of like a thing, yeah.
And so we did have
a tip.
It's
like if you want to listen, listen, but I'm not
going to. We used to have a tip jar. We had a lunch fund.
I still have a tip jar, but it's not really on the active site. It's on the old site.
We don't do all the things that other. Well, we've been doing the things since 2005.
Yeah.
And I think we stopped doing all the things that podcasters do now.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. And so maybe we should get back into doing all that.
I guess. It's funny because I always go like, I don't want to have commercials because I think they're annoying, but then every podcast has commercials.
Uh-huh.
We don't do, you know, donate to the, you know, there's people that do donations. There's people that do.
And the other thing we don't do.
What's that?
Every podcast now is you do my podcast, I'll do yours.
Oh, sure.
It is one big circular hand job.
Yeah.
It's one big, they're all jerking off on the same cookie. And, you know, oh, Chris Hardwick, why don't you come do my podcast? All right. I'll come do Chris.
Actually, I think I invited one of the guys from The Gathering this year to do my podcast, one of the comics. But.
Right.
Because he's got his show. But anyway,
we'll cross-promote. Maybe we'll change the way we do things because we were innovators. All right.
All right. Well, let's get into what's actually happening because enough about this nonsense. But let's get into the big news of the day. You've got special Oreos over there. Into that.
Yeah, something important.
Yeah, I have some nonsense to talk about. But first, let's get to important.
Well, if
hard-hitting news.
Just want one.
I do, but I also think there's Oreo news on top of that.
You want to take a picture?
I'll take a picture of it. I can take a picture as they're opened up.
Okay, good.
You know, because there's Oreo coverage in the media itself today.
I have one on my phone already. If we need.
Did you? Okay, because I read this today. Let me see this. This is birthday cake Oreos that Corey showed up with. Now, just, what was it, 3-4 weeks ago, the last time we were here, I talked about how we had, what were those, banana? That was more than 3-4 weeks ago. Watermelon Oreos. That's the awful shit we had. Watermelon Oreos. And
I already have a picture. We can use it.
Good. Okay, yeah, that's fine. Whatever. Send me that picture. But these are birthday cake Oreos, and Corey asked me the other day, what was the question? You're in the store, and you go, which fancy Oreos do you want?
Two different flavors, right. One of which was banana split.
Okay.
Yeah. And the other one is what we see here, birthday cake.
Now, the birthday cake Oreo is basically the cream. I'm going to open one up. Go ahead, and I'll take two just because.
Okay.
I'm optimistic in taking two.
Sure. The watermelon Oreos, by the way, were horrific.
Well, they were like a yellow cookie with like a red inside.
They were horrific, and it took me half a package of Oreos. I ate half a bag of them before I realized I had them.
Now, these have
a real smell.
They have a real smell. They have a real frosting smell.
Wow,
but
they do.
Anyway, but they're just these are just standard Oreos with the dark, regular Oreo. Corey's biting in. Is he going for a second bite? He hasn't yet. He's pondering the first bite. He's going for bite two. Bite two. Bite two, he's chewing. Any initial thought?
It doesn't taste terribly different from a regular Oreo.
Okay, let me try. All right. Well.
I mean, I get the frosting feeling.
Yeah. These taste like something else. That's what I'm getting from it.
It's got a real fake artificial frosting smell to it.
Yeah. Well.
No, this is riveting radio right here.
This is not.
Two fat guys chewing on Oreos not deciding what they think about them.
Well, this is like. These taste like just like. I'm trying to think of
they're like sweeter Oreos.
But they taste like a kind of a like another kind of cookie, but I can't put my finger on it.
And if you split one open,
yeah, you can see like
they have little frosting. They have little sprinkles.
Sprinkles is basically how I describe it.
Yeah, they have sprinkles in them. It really does have a vanilla sort of smell to it.
Yeah, it's
It smells like frosting. It does smell like frosting, and I think the cream is slightly less dense than a regular Oreo cream.
Smoother, maybe creamier.
It's a little creamier.
It might be because they're warm, though, too.
Oh, they were in my car.
They were in your car, and it's a hot day out. You know, here's the deal. Again, not as good as a regular Oreo is kind of my review on these.
Yeah.
They're not bad. Like, I'll eat a couple of these, but.
Well, they're definitely better than the watermelon, which were an atrocity in pink and green form.
Well, here's the thing about this. You bite into the Oreo. Like, if you didn't know this was a birthday cake Oreo and you just looked at it and said, oh, this is an Oreo, you bet it, you'd be like, my Oreo tastes funny. That's kind of what I feel this is.
Mm-hmm.
Why does my cookie taste weird? Oh, because it's a birthday cake Oreo.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It kind of tastes like an Oreo knockoff.
It's like a Hydrox.
It's like a Hydrox, exactly. I could be that.
You know what the difference? It's like Pepsi and Coke.
Yeah.
If you drink a Pepsi, you go, oh, that's kind of like a Coke, but sweeter.
Yeah.
This is a weird feeling. Yeah.
All right, so these are okay. I don't know.
They're all right. They're definitely better than the...
meh.
They're definitely better than the watermelon Oreos.
I'd say so, but there's Oreo news. TMZ has a story about Oreos.
So far, the only other flavor of Oreo that I would get on a regular basis would be the peanut butter.
Yeah, those are good.
The peanut butter ones.
Peanut butter Oreos are pretty good. Yeah.
Have legitimized their existence, and I could say.
But that's the classic peanut butter chocolate taste.
Look, the only thing we have on Europe, which has an incredible chocolate capacity, you know, incredible chocolate ability. They don't have the chocolate peanut butter technology.
That's an American thing.
Holding off the bulkhead of German chocolate is that we have, and Swiss, we have chocolate and peanut butter together.
Yeah.
That's our hedge wall against the onslaught of superior German chocolate.
Does Europe even eat peanut butter like Americans do? Do they?
No.
In fact,
there's a line of dialogue in Before Midnight.
Okay.
In which they're talking about maybe moving to the States.
Yeah.
And Julie Delpy's like, you're going to have me in Chicago in a grocery store buying peanut butter.
Oh.
You know, like that's a very specific American
thing. It's an American thing.
Mm-hmm.
America.
Yeah.
Peanut butter. Notice I had a peanut butter Dove to wash the taste of the birthday cake Oreo out of my mouth.
If there's one thing Americans like, it's peanut butter and racism.
Can I read this TMZ story about Oreos, though?
Uh-huh.
It says a high school math class is calling BS on claims that double-stuffed Oreos have twice the amount of cream.
What?
I know. So the class did intense tensing on 10 Oreos and determined that double-stuffed Oreos were only 1.86 times larger than the regular ones.
Mm.
The same experiment reviewed that mega-stuffed Oreos, which I've never heard of, mega-stuffed Oreos.
Well, that's just carrot. Look.
Let me finish.
Double stuff's one thing, but mega stuff, now you're out of your goddamn mind.
Mega stuffs are only 2.6 times larger, although they are allegedly supposed to be 3 times the normal Oreo.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Oh, man.
Oreo's making news.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Oreo, well, you know, whenever Combo comes out with a new flavor, whenever Oreo comes out with a new flavor, the fat guy within me.
Have you been eating those Lay's? They're crazy fucking flavors.
I have.
Because I had one of them. Well, which ones did you have?
We did them on the show, didn't we? Yeah, we did when they were doing as a contest.
What did we do? What did we have?
I think we tried them all.
All of them?
Chicken and waffles.
Right.
Is an embarrassment.
I had those because our friend Harry bought chicken and waffle Lay's potato chips one night. I was with him. And those were disgusting.
They taste like maple syrup.
Maple syrup and potato chip. Yeah, it was not good.
So it almost tastes a little bit like French toast, but I don't. The whole.
It's, yeah.
And then there's the chicken is like a weird.
I didn't taste any chicken.
There's chicken. It's kind of like. It doesn't taste like chicken. It tastes like if you dipped your finger in a ramen packet and just had the powder. It tastes like. Because so
I like chicken in a biscuit. You know what those are?
That
those
is
are
the
delicious.
Only, look, that is the only application of meat cracker I will accept.
Chicken in a biscuit. That's delicious, right?
Because I don't even like bacon flavoring in and stuff because it just tastes like smoke.
Yeah.
So keep your meat out of my crackers and chips.
You're right.
The winner of the contest, although they put all the flavor, they put at least two of the flavors back.
What were the other options?
Sriracha was the other one.
I don't even know what that is.
And that's like, well, it's hipster ketchup. It's that,
oh, Jesus,
you know, Christ. The bottle with the rooster on it that you see at
restaurants? No, I don't.
Okay,
because
you don't go to that.
I don't go to hipster
God
restaurants.
God forbid you would go somewhere that had ethnic food. But
It's a Thai ketchup.
Hot sauce,
okay.
Basically. And the sriracha the chips were not as hot as the actual sauce.
Okay.
And tasted sort of ketchup-y with a little bit of hotness. So, The winner was the cheesy garlic bread, and I've actually eaten two bags of them since they put them back out.
See, now those I haven't had. I love me some cheesy garlic bread, but...
But Amy complained that the garlic flavor was too intense.
Disgusting, and yeah.
I like the cheesy garlic bread Lays, and I'm all for them.
Huh.
And,
I mean, we've had stuff like, what did we have? The cheeseburger combos or whatever those were the one time?
Okay, well, those were a crime.
Yeah, those tasted like pickles.
Well, the worst, it's Combos likes to sneak out.
Yeah, Combos has all kinds of wacky shit.
And they introduced three flavors at the same time. One was zesty salsa, and that had the stone ground corn cracker, which was an innovation at the time.
I could see where that would be innovative. Sure.
And it was good. And I think the zesty salsa are still with us.
Okay.
You can find them sometimes. Then there was the cheeseburger waffle, or the cheeseburger combo.
Yeah.
And those were, yeah.
We ate those on the show, and they were terrible.
Well, anytime you do cheeseburger stuff, it just tastes like ketchup.
Yeah, they put ketchup and pickle.
And mustard. Yeah, and pickle, whatever. Yeah. Didn't work in a combo.
Not at all.
Too much flavor for one small.
Right, yeah.
The combo doesn't need it. Let's not reinvent the fucking wheel here, people, okay?
It's basically cheese and pretzels or cheese and crackers together.
The medium is not big enough. Yeah. You're going to get the whatever pretzel or cracker or stone ground tortilla.
Yeah.
You're going to get that flavor.
Uh-huh.
And then you get a cheese.
Yeah.
Don't try and throw
Add
five
a bunch
different
of shit.
Goddamn
yeah.
things
yeah.
in it. That being said, there's a seven-layer bean.
There's a seven-layer?
There's a seven-layer bean dip.
How small are those layers? It's a tiny little thing.
It tastes like bean dip.
Doesn't it?
Is what it is. And you know what? They're not bad.
Right.
But they taste like bean dip.
Right.
So I'm not getting all seven layers.
I know, but why not just...
You know what I mean? You can only do so much in miniature. It's not...
Well, that's the thing.
It's not nanobite technology.
Why do they always promise that it's going to be like this the most... Like, cheesy garlic bread is delicious.
They promise everything.
But if you want cheesy garlic bread, just go buy cheesy garlic bread.
Don't
buy a fucking potato chip.
Do you remember when we were kids, the Power Glove for Nintendo was going to change your goddamn life?
Yeah, I know.
You'd never play a video game the same way.
Yeah.
The Kinects for Xbox.
Oh, well, there's
all this shit
that
we're sitting going, I don't want to play. I don't want to wave my hand around like I'm having like seizures.
They want you to wave your hand.
Like Jerry Lewis on fucking meth. I don't want to twitch and shake my hand around. Yeah. Have a spasm.
Yeah, so anyway, so enough about snack and foods. I think we've covered the birthday cake Oreos.
Well,
you get to take those home. That's your prize.
Thank
you. Those cookies you bought for the show, you get to take home.
I will say that coming soon, we're not going to do it for a couple weeks.
Okay.
There is a junk food, a miracle has happened. A junk food miracle has occurred. They brought back Fruit Brute.
Fruit Brute. Okay, that's a cereal.
And Yummy Mummy.
Okay.
They brought back the two exiled monster cereals.
Oh, those,
from the General Mills monster
those
cereals.
Those were General... See, I'm too young to even have enjoyed those, so...
Fruit Brute was around until the early 80s.
Right.
Which, he's a werewolf.
But wait a minute. There was... Okay, explain the monster cereals. It's Count Chocula.
Yes.
Frankenberry.
Yes.
And I think those two still exist.
And then Boo-Berry.
And Boo-Berry, okay.
Right. And those are the holy trinity of the monster cereals.
Yeah.
And Count Chocula has always been on the shelves.
Okay.
That's the winner. He's the top dog.
Count Chocula still exists.
He's the badass of
it's
the badass.
It's chocolate and marshmallows.
Right. Count Chocula you can find any time of the year.
Yeah.
You can always find it. Frankenberry you can find for about 2 months.
Yeah.
They'll put that out around.
Booberry, is that even around still?
Booberry is like regional. You can find it.
Oh,
something.
Okay.
Because I remember I had a roommate that like you couldn't get Booberry here, but like his grandmother in, you know, Oregon or something would like send him. Boxes of Boo-Berry.
Oh.
So we had always had Boo-Berry at our house. And and now Fruit Brute, which has been gone for like 30 years.
Yeah.
Fruit Brute was exiled, sent way deep.
I'm not even
the,
old
into
enough.
Into the backwoods.
And
you know?
I ate all those cereals growing up, and I don't even remember Fruit Brute.
Well, look for an installment of Cereal Killers.
Okay, we'll eat Fruit
our
Brute.
Our cereal review.
I'll have some.
Coming soon.
I'll eat it. I'm looking for new good cereals.
Podcast and this channel.
You know, cereals change over the years, and some of them are just not as good as they used to be. And
now, does your taste change, or does the cereals change?
I think they change the cereals because they've put more fiber into them in a lot of cases. They've adjusted the amount of sugar, and some of them are not as good as they used to be. And, I wish I could... be specific about anything. I mean, maybe Apple Jacks are different than they used to be. Those two have a different flavor. Frosted Flakes probably have a little less sugar than they used to. They're still pretty delicious. I mean, there's still some, you know, they keep messing with the Lucky Charms marshmallows. You know, those marshmallows are...
Really?
They're still adding new marshmallows. They're still fucking with the marshmallows. But the marshmallows don't really taste that different, but they're different shapes.
Yeah.
The fruity, I don't know, for some reason, the pebbles...
What? They changed the pebbles?
No, the pebbles don't taste... I like... Here's what I used to... I used to think as a kid that Cocoa Krispies and Cocoa Pebbles were kind of exactly the same. Even though one is like a solid piece of rice and one of them is like a crushed rice.
What you talking about?
Or puffed rice. But I figured out now that the last time I had them, the Cocoa Krispies were disgusting. Like the chocolate flavor was awful. Mm. So I'm now exclusively, if I want a chocolate rice cereal, I now go exclusively to Cocoa Pebbles.
Is it just now that
Honeycomb is still good?
Is it just that you're a middle-aged man and you don't like sugar cereals?
No, I still eat. I'm eating. Sure, you know, I went through a phase where 3 weeks in a row. So I basically buy a box of cereal a week. Yeah. 3 weeks in a row, I bought Cocoa Pebbles. I was enjoying them so much. Then I switched and I went to Lucky Charms.
Grown man cereal.
Well, I'll eat those too sometimes.
But
it just depends.
I'm not once in a great while. I will say, I will sneak a Captain Crunch.
Right. I'll eat. Right now I've got Cinnamon Toast Crunch. But I finished a box of Lucky Charms, and they had multiple rainbows. You think there's only one rainbow, but apparently not. Lucky Charms has said there's now four rainbows.
Well, you're in Ferndale, you know. There are many rainbows.
All kinds of rainbows. And but yeah, I think some of them have changed and not for the better. Mm. And but there's lots of stuff I won't try. Like I'm not experimental with the cereals anymore. Like I won't get waffle cereal.
No.
Like
no, you no. won't have waffle cereal?
There's waffle crunch that's kinda like Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I ain't eating that. I don't even think I eat. I think I have had, but I don't even mess around with
it. Why are you going to hate on waffle cereal?
I don't eat those Reese's peanut butter cup cereal. Right. I'm not a fan of that.
Here's my thing about waffle cereal.
Yeah.
I could get a waffle.
You can get a waffle. Yeah.
I have a waffle iron.
Well, I don't.
I can make a waffle.
Yeah.
And I can make a good waffle.
But you still got to have batter, and the batter either, if you want to make the batter, it's kind of messy. And even if you buy the batter that you pour, you shake. That only lasts for a couple days, so there is some work involved in a waffle.
I can make batter. You know how long it takes to make batter?
It doesn't take long, but it's not. But you have to clean up. It's a
this
mess.
Is my thing. Okay, people in America are so fucking lazy.
Well, that's the point. Cereal's easy to make.
When I see pancake mix in a fucking store, when I see a box of pancake mix, I laugh.
Wow,
you know what's in there? Flour and baking soda.
Yeah, I know.
Baking powder.
Yeah.
Just fucking get some baking powder. Get a spoon.
Yeah,
get a measuring spoon, and you just made pancake batter.
No,
son.
I buy the stuff that
throw
you
an egg in
I
there.
Buy whatever the fast shake or whatever.
Oh god!
Because you know why? Because it's clean. You put water in it, you shake it up, you pour out the pancakes, you throw it away, you're done.
Well,
you don't have to fuck up a bowl. You don't have to get a mixer.
Yeah, cooking involves getting messy. That's
well, whatever. Who are you to say?
Me.
Enjoy your birthday cake Oreos, and your fucking garlic bread chips. You fat fuck. Let me eat my waffles. You're so goddamn judgmental on shit.
I'm just saying, get a waffle iron and make a waffle.
I don't want a waffle iron. I don't. I mean, actually, I do want a waffle iron, but I don't want to have to cook. I'm not eating the fucking waffle cereal. You're preaching to somebody else.
I'm not eating the waffle cereal either.
Good. Honey Smacks.
I can make
those are delicious.
You know, those used
make
to
some
be,
Honey Smacks.
You know,
can you do that?
Didn't those used to be Sugar Smacks?
They used to be Sugar Smacks. I think for reasons that you know. For PR reasons, they changed the name, but they're still delicious.
No, look, now when it comes to taking oats, toasting them,
right.
and covering them in sugar frosting,
yeah.
that's a lot of work.
Okay.
Making a waffle, I can make you, if I had a waffle iron 5 minutes from now, we'd have fucking waffles.
Right.
That I can do.
Now you have to compare, okay, this is what we're going to do. Let's get scientific. Let's put on our white coats and do this. We're going to take Honey Smacks, and we're going to take Super Golden Crisp.
Oh.
And it's going to be a blindfold comparison. Which
are
puff,
they the same thing?
Are they the well? They're not. One's made by Post, and one's made by Kellogg's.
One has a hip hop frog.
Yeah,
and the other has a Bing Crosby inspired crooner.
A bear.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bear.
Sugar bear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which it used to be, Sugar Smacks, and sugar
and
sugar
whatever.
Crisps.
Well, it's super. I think it used to be Super Sugar Crisp.
Right.
Now it's Super Golden Crisp.
Okay. Right.
But which they're essentially the same.
Honey's great for you.
Right.
And sugar's bad.
Well, listen, I had.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever? I had to buy Post Raisin Bran once.
Because
I'm a Kellogg's Raisin Bran guy. Maybe it's because we're in Michigan. Whatever.
Okay.
Kellogg's Raisin Bran is delicious.
Yeah.
That's a grown-up cereal I will fucking eat the fuck out of.
Okay.
They were out of Kellogg's Raisin Bran.
Oh, God.
At the store. I buy Post Raisin Bran.
Are you hearing?
Are you listening?
This story.
America.
Of travail and troubles.
I bought Post.
In America.
But you go, what's the
2013.
Difference?
2013.
They're bran flakes and raisins. How different could it be?
Yeah.
It was fucking disgusting. The texture was different. The amount of raisins was different. The sweetness was different. It was completely fucking different. It's not the same shit.
I eat a lot of like honey bunches of oats.
Okay,
like,
I eat those too.
A lot of that's
yeah,
a lot of granola.
Okay,
stuff like that.
I'll eat those honey bunches of oats with the almonds.
Once in a while,
those are good.
Once in a while, the wife will push a Kashi Go Lean on me.
Yeah,
or
well,
some
you,
shit.
The women can go fuck themselves with their cereal. Women have no taste in cereal whatsoever.
Oh,
they can hit the fucking highway.
You know what we've been actually
your cereals,
Crispix.
Women.
That's been a
get wild
yeah,
Crispix.
That's been on the menu.
Put the lampshade on. Get out the Crispix. There you go.
But see, Joel, it's
high times.
It's corn on one side,
oh,
and
God.
Rice on the other.
Oh, good. Look out.
Women have no taste in cereal.
Women
no, they,
can't pick a fucking cereal
no, women,
to save
women
their
would
fucking
eat,
life.
Women would eat tree bark and gravel if they...
They
if
fucking...
They really, that would be their breakfast.
Oh, these... Oh, you know what? These peanut butter puffins are so delicious. I can't get enough of these. Oh, my God. They're like candy. Shut the fuck up. They taste like fucking shit.
Here's the one thing I will never do in my life. This is one... You're completely right about this.
Yeah.
And I have... Believe me, before this... in previous administrations, before the Empress was declared...
Yeah. Before the Queen was enthroned in
before
your
Before the Empress
place, yeah.
Was declared for life, and I had a free and open pussy democracy,
yeah.
Which had multiple different administrations, I was subjected to the puffins.
The puffins are horrible.
Here's another one, pirate's booty.
I don't know what that is.
Okay, that's like...
But that's some other...
No, that's like vegan puffed.
Oh, Jesus.
It's like vegan Cheetos.
Knife.
You know what I mean? It's like you take a Cheeto,
okay,
and you put it on a lonely island for like 30. They put it's like Elba. It's
but
like
it's actually corn.
No, it's yeah. It's oh. Like a puffed rice or something.
Okay,
and you take it's like Napoleon in exile.
Yeah,
you put him on an island by himself.
Yeah,
and you devoid. You know, you drain the joy out of his life. Yeah. That's what you do. It's like a Cheeto. And exile it to sadness for like 60 years.
Take all the joy out
yeah.
of Cheetos,
and then it comes back
right.
as pirate's booty,
right?
And that you can get that at Trader Joe's,
right?
No,
it's a
girls
Cheeto.
Will do that.
It's a Cheeto on a 12-step program, Corey.
Exactly. Yeah,
there's
yeah.
no fun at all. It's no
yeah.
longer.
Yeah,
it's crazy days are over.
It's a Cheeto that's doing CrossFit.
Yeah,
it wants to have. It does you know.
Yeah.
Bikram yoga does
right.
hot yoga all day.
It's a yeah. Cheeto that goes yeah. to bed at 9 o'clock
right.
every night.
Right.
It's no
right.
fun. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what girls are. That's what
I
they are.
I saw things.
Girls are basically Cheetos.
Right. And they'll tell you, oh.
Girls over 30.
Kale chips are delicious.
That's
oh,
the biggest
my
crock
kale
of shit.
Oh, I can't get enough.
Right.
It's like crack cocaine, these kale chips.
I will sometimes make kale.
Okay.
Okay, as a side
yeah.
with a meal.
Okay.
Like, I'm not eating a whole kale, but I will, like,
yeah.
cook down kale and put it with something, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Because it's rich in antioxidants. It's good for you. If you're going to fucking eat kale.
Yeah.
Kale doesn't taste good enough
yeah.
on its own to make into a fucking chip. That is where you're wrong, sir.
There are women
sir or madam. I will not hear
yeah.
you sit there. And
right.
The lowly fucking potato.
Right.
The starch of life. Which
exactly.
You goddamned health Nazi faggots
yeah.
all say that there's no nutritional value in a potato.
Yeah.
Tell Russia that.
Exactly.
They held out against the Wehrmacht.
They
crushed Operation Barbarossa with the fucking power of the potato. But kale chips are... No, that's where I draw the line, sir. There will be...
Well,
I will have no...
You ever had these? I walked by these in the supermarket the other
Am I getting
day.
Too smart with these references?
No, it's fine. Okay, it's good. I'm going to dumb it down a little bit for the audience, but no. There was something called veggie straws. You know what those are?
Yeah.
How awful can those
possibly
taste?
Here's the deal with the veggie straws.
somebody... And they were like, they were in like an end cap. They were like a big display thing, like, oh, and you know that's every fucking hippie
there,
idiot
there are,
who's eating those
there
and
are,
going how delicious
there
they
are. There are veggie chips, okay, which are the kin of the veggie straw.
Okay.
I don't think you would like them.
Right.
And I just know you wouldn't like them. But I've made peace with the veggie chips.
But are they made out of dried carrots and stuff?
It's
and they're just
spinach, one spinach, one's potato, and one's carrot.
Oh, Jesus.
It's like a, you know what I mean?
Fucking
Or something. No, tomato. I'm sorry. It's not carrots, tomato.
Okay.
So there's the orange, the green, and the yellow.
Sure.
I've made peace with the potato chips. And you know what? If you dip them in hummus or something, they're not bad. They're a platform. Right, they're a dipping.
You can't eat them on their own. They're part of a.
You can eat them on your own, but again, it's a sad kind of. If you're,
it's sort of like a. It's sort of an hors d'oeuvre that's a visually striking, and then it you dip it into something.
You
dip it into some sort of dip.
You know what they're like?
You dip them in ranch.
They're kind of like baked Lay's.
Okay.
But lighter.
Okay.
But you know what I mean? They don't have that real greasy.
But they're made out of these dried things.
Yeah, so. Yeah. They're kind of like baked. And
because I've eaten.
They're okay. Yeah. You can eat them. The veggie straw is nonsense. Why do you need the straw? And I think somebody, we were noticing this, whoever sells the veggie straw,
yeah.
The salesman pulled a rook job on Kroger and Meijer and all the grocery chains.
Yeah.
They were swimming in veggie straws. You had fucking veggie straws.
They were overstocked.
There were end caps full of veggie straws.
Yeah, that's what
and
I
they,
saw the
and
other
they
day.
Sold
maybe
the veggie straws to people. They're going to be sitting on their veggie straw stock maybe. Until the zombie apocalypse. They're going to have them.
Nobody
forever.
Wants them, huh?
Nobody's buying the goddamn veggie straws, but some salesman went, I'm going to veggie straw this bitch right up.
All
right. And they bought a mega shit ton of you know, mega stuffing, which I think I saw in a porn.
Yes.
They, fucking,
three times the stuffing, Corey.
They got a giant shit ton of veggie straws, and we're going to all have to. We'll be buried under a mountain of veggie straws.
Yeah, I haven't had this. I've had, like, dried apple chips, and I think I've had dry pineapple, and those are, like, dehydrated apples. And those are okay.
Here's what I say about veggie straws.
Yeah.
Somewhere in Africa, there's a kid.
You're right.
And he's sitting there going,
right.
I would love a fucking head of lettuce right now. I wish. Yeah. If somebody had a fistful of spinach, I'd be so happy.
I'd be eating anything, yeah.
Right? I'd take a tomato. I would love a tomato.
Just to bite right into a tomato.
Do you have a nice, ripe, juicy tomato?
Yeah, right.
I'm living in fucking Sudan in a pile of shit and elephant dung. I'm crying myself to sleep on the bones of my ancestors. Give me a tomato. Nope.
Yeah.
We got to take all the tomatoes and press them process them into fucking veggie straws.
But isn't that what the hippie guys, they want to be like, well, I'm going to be crazy. I'm going to have a snack. And it's just like a crushed up tomato.
Okay. Like I said, if I'm going to eat healthy, I'll go on a diet. I'll eat salads.
Yeah.
I'll eat soup, whatever. But please stop with the fucking health food snacks.
Well, it's the same thing with, like, I always find like veggie burgers and that, and guys who are trying to have, like, you know.
You know, the veggie burger is a different story,
but it's because you can
actually have that and eat it, and you're not going to think it's a burger, but you'll think it's something.
I guess, but
the veggie straw.
But there are people.
No one.
Look, you're honest enough to not make that claim, but there are people who will tell you you wouldn't know this wasn't beef when they have some soy burger or something.
Yeah.
And I'll go, you know what? I think I will. I'm pretty goddamn sure I can tell you that's not beef.
I've had perfectly enjoyable veggie burgers, and I've eaten them. But I don't sit there and think I'm having an In-N-Out burger. It's
right,
like,
but I mean, you know, people.
I don't think I'm having a double animal.
But people think, like, you know, Diet Coke's the same. There's people that are like that. You know, I drink Diet Coke. I can't tell the difference. And I go, well, you're retarded because I can tell the fucking difference.
Oh, well, that
Diet Coke tastes like paint thinner.
Okay.
It tastes like Coca-Cola mixed with poison.
Look, the only worst people are in Congress, okay? The only worst liars in American life are in Congress right now. Than the fuckers who tell you that Diet Coke tastes the same as regular.
The people will tell you every minute.
Fucking scum.
No, I agree.
I declare a Nuremberg trial. I think it's time we round them up.
Yeah.
We take them to The Hague. If you're a grown man, if you're over 14, and you look me in the you like a man up, look me in the eye and tell me Diet Coke tastes like anything other than leaky battery acid. It's the worst goddamn I will not look. Coke Zero, I'll drink.
Yeah, but that's bad, too.
I'll do it begrudgingly, But I will. I can drink a Coke Zero and say, okay, I had a Coke Zero. It's not great, but I'll have one. I would rather literally drink like CC Dynamite's Afterbirth than fucking drink a Diet Coke.
I don't get that at all. Now, I think it's partially, though, due to the soda. I think that the actual Coca-Cola is so distinct. Because I've had, like, a Diet Red Bull, like a sugar-free Red Bull. That's not, I mean, and maybe it's just because Red Bull tastes nasty anyway. But the Diet Red Bull tastes, you know, okay. I've had Diet Ginger Ale that, you know, is closer to ginger ale. Not that it tastes like ginger ale. But there's something about Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi that is just every bit as awful. Like it's not even in the same fucking universe as a real Coke or Pepsi. It's disgusting. So anyway, all right. Well, let's move on. I think we've done our snack food review. Everyone's sorted out on that. They know our opinions.
Yeah.
If you're a woman and you like a cereal, that's
women don't like cereal.
They don't like cereal in general.
Because you know what cereal is? It's like fucking calories for them.
Yeah, I guess.
That's not satisfying.
Sure, yeah.
No woman will eat yogurt all day.
Yeah, that's true. That is a difference.
Women will eat probiotic yogurt, yeah. Which I actually do like Greek yogurt and I eat.
Okay.
There's a snack concession. Like if I'm going to eat a diet snack, I'm going to have like a Greek yogurt and go. I'm okay with that.
All right.
That's a meal. I'm fine with that. But it's not like Pirate's Booty or a veggie straw where I'm fucking fooling nobody.
Yeah, okay. I get you.
If I want a Cheeto, I'm eating a goddamn man's Cheeto.
Yeah, women will sit around and eat.
They look at cereal as a wasted calorie. They'd rather have an egg white omelet or they'd rather have, you know, whatever.
I guess, yeah. I don't know.
They don't look at cereal like a valuable thing for them.
All right, so let's get into. Did you want to talk about Woody Allen? We can talk about movies now.
God.
Is there any? I mean, because what is the new Woody Allen movie? What's it called?
It's called Blue Jasmine.
Oh, sounds great.
It stars. Well, here's
it got good reviews. I read reviews of it. I don't even know that this thing's even playing where I can see it. But
it's going to be. I think it's at the Maple, so you'd have to drive out there. Woody Allen, I think, has made now what 44 or 45?
It's got to be
features.
Yeah,
I think he has. I looked on IMDb and he's got like 50 to his credit, but five of those are like TV movies.
Okay, yeah.
Segments of, you know, he did like New York Stories. Yeah. He did a segment and he did Don't Drink the Water and some, you know, some other various stuff. But about 44, 45 full-length feature films. He's made one every year since 1968. And stop.
That's enough.
Just enough already.
We've seen enough.
Call it a day. Okay, Elmore Leonard just passed away, okay?
Yes.
And I read a few Elmore Leonard books and they were good. They, you know, it wasn't my kind of... wasn't the stuff I read a lot of nonfiction, so I don't read a lot of fiction anyway. But his stuff was very clean and efficient, and he had a good punchy style for writing crime fiction.
Okay.
His books read quick. They're very efficient.
All right.
Woody Allen has this style that no one can like. It's really,
I love some of my favorite movies ever are Woody Allen movies, but they were made in the 70s and the 80s.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. I will never sit here and any. If you know, people always ask me, what's your favorite movie? And I don't have a list. I don't have a favorite movie because I am a film critic.
Yeah.
And I've seen 50 times more movies than most people.
Yeah.
So I can't do that. But if you give me a list of 20 or 10, Annie Hall's on it every time.
Okay.
I can't sit here and tell you Annie Hall's not one of the best movies ever made.
It is.
It's a masterpiece.
Terrific.
Manhattan is great, too.
Yeah, I agree.
Stardust Memories might be my favorite Woody Allen movie, personally.
Oh.
Love it.
Oh.
Take the Money and Run.
Oh.
Fabulous.
Crazy.
Bananas.
You're losing your mind over there. No, I agree. I like all
these. Are all great. The earlier stuff, great. Yeah. I even like Hannah and Her Sisters. I even like Husbands
Husbands and Wives. I'll go up to Husbands Manhattan and Wives. Murder Mystery.
Doing for the last 15 years.
Yeah.
It's got to stop, man.
Yeah.
I liked Vicky Cristina Barcelona only because the actors were fun.
Okay.
You know, like, they were hamming it up and having a good time.
Yeah.
His movies are only good incidentally.
Yeah.
Only the cast elevates him. In this case, he's got Cate Blanchett, who's fucking amazing.
Okay.
And Sally Hawkins, who's very good.
Okay.
And then he's got guys like Louis C.K., who has a small part.
Okay.
But he comes in and does a great job in his little bit.
Yeah.
And Dice is in there, and he's Dice.
Dice is
he's
Dice.
He's go. Yeah.
But he Dice is actually Dice. That's who he...
He pretty much is playing Dice.
Okay,
he plays
fine.
A guy named Augie.
Okay.
And, you know, but it's like this Dice. It's like, yeah. You know what kind of Dice it is? It's some...
It's like old Dice.
It's when he went on it's like when he went on Arsenio Hall.
Yeah, yeah.
Right before Ford Fairlane came out and he got serious for a minute.
Yeah.
He said, I've been working these clubs for 15 years. And all the sweat that you put into them. You know, it was that Dice.
Okay, that Dice.
Yeah. Go gay!
Yeah.
And then, I was distracted. I think Woody didn't even know who the fuck Dice was. I don't know how Dice ended up in this movie.
Like, he's never seen Dice's stand-up. No. Woody, I'm going to tell you some poems.
Hi-yo!
Hickory dickory doctor!
Go! Yeah, didn't Mia Farrow like it in the ass? You can tell me! All right. Anyway. There's good performances. Bobby Cannavale's in there wearing the same haircut he has.
Bobby Cannavale's good.
He's got the same haircut he wears in Boardwalk Empire.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, why is a 20s...
He shot it at the same
he's
time.
He's got this, like, yeah, no, he's got that, like, you know, high on the sides with the big swoop over.
Sure.
I'm going, where are we?
Yeah.
He's playing a big Guido kind of guy, obviously, because
yeah,
it's Bobby Cannavale, and what else? What else is he going to do?
Yeah.
What's the Dago going to do?
Well,
put him in a fucking wife beater and let him have a good time. But he's got that swoop over his head.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, what? You couldn't change the hair, Woody?
Yeah.
This is.
But it's a contemporary film?
Yeah, it's a film set in 2013. Okay. All of the music is Billie Holiday. And, it's like.
You never saw Midnight in Paris, did you?
I did.
Oh, did you? And that was overrated, too.
Midnight in Paris, they go back to the 20s. So
yeah.
You can get away with
playing. You can get away. Yeah, I know. But that was the
right.
Yeah,
it's like, okay, you're listening to Louis Armstrong because you went back to 1927.
Yeah, no, okay.
Nobody in 2013 is sitting around listening to as much goddamn Billie Holiday as Woody Allen.
Right.
It's the worst. It's really just horrific.
Okay.
The titles, I hate those stupid fucking titles.
The white titles on black.
Yeah, yeah. The black card with the white titles.
And like and it comes on and immediately like an old 78 starts playing. Like as soon as you see the first title, here comes a clarinet.
Okay, but see, here's my thing, and this is my problem with it.
Yeah.
People say Woody Allen, one of the greatest directors of all time.
Yeah.
I don't think you can really make that argument anymore.
Really?
I think that all those titles and all that shit worked for Annie Hall.
Yeah.
But then he made another 43 movies that had the exact same stuff, right?
Well, you know, when I think about Woody Allen's career, and I haven't seen all of his movies. There was a day when I would tell you I saw all the Woody Allen movies. But by the 90s, I was maybe taking in every third one at that point. Like, I never saw Curse of the Jade Scorpion. There's a lot of stuff I didn't see, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I've enjoyed some of them, I guess. I'm trying to think of the ones I liked. Deconstructing Harry, I liked, but again, that's almost 20 years ago.
Right, right.
I mean, but I consider that a new Woody Allen movie. It's 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's some that I've liked, I guess. I saw Match Point, which I didn't really, I don't know if that was good or not.
No,
I'm trying to remember. I don't think it was.
Look.
I don't know.
I
saw Midnight in Paris.
Okay, he's made, 44 features? I've seen probably 38, 39 of them.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Seen the vast majority. There's a few I haven't seen.
Yeah.
Nobody's really watched September, let's be honest. And, you know.
Did you see the one with Larry David?
Yes.
Terrible, right?
Okay. Well, he's been trying to find surrogates because he's not putting himself.
Right, it was John Cusack for a while, and then it was. Edward Norton and...
Here's the thing, because he makes a movie every year.
Yeah.
This To Rome with Love, which was really bad.
Okay.
You know, after Midnight in Paris, he's like, oh, let me do...
And do all these movies, let me ask you this, do they all take place in Europe? Or
Some
of them have been take place back in the States, but for a while they were all in Europe.
Beginning with Everybody Says I Love
You. Yeah, that one I remember.
He started going to Europe because he was pretty much fucked out of New York.
Yeah.
Because nobody wanted him around
because
he was banging... his stepdaughter.
Yeah, okay.
And that people found that to be a little distasteful.
Yeah, I got you.
So he went over to Europe where they're like, hey, would you like to... hey, fuck my daughter. Would you, Woody? You're a great artist, Woody. I don't know why I do this voice. But hey, fuck the other daughter too, the younger one. Should not have a menses. Get in there. It's fresh and good for you.
Well,
it's like a fresh buffalo mozzarella. It's a nice and a fresh pussy.
I saw that. Did you ever see that documentary, Wild Man Blues,
yeah,
where he goes around places? Because she's kind of a ball buster. I don't think that's as, it's not as.
She's kind of a ball buster.
Right. Like, it's not as,
well,
like, the relationship.
No, she runs the
more,
schedule for him.
Right. So the relationship was less of, you know, she was less his concubine and more of, like, kind of an old Jewish lady built into the frame of a young Thai girl or whatever she is.
Woody is very regimented. That's what Woody's deal is. He's got to have he went to that same goddamn nightclub and played clarinet for 55 years.
Right.
Or whatever.
Well, the one place closed and he went to a new place. But yeah,
he went to the same nightclub and played on a Monday night.
I think he still does.
He didn't go to the Academy Awards.
Yeah, because he's playing clarinet.
He's like, I got to be up at Harold's on.
Isn't
you know,
Joe's 78, Pub or what
78th Street, whatever the fuck
replays,
it is.
Yeah.
I'm playing clarinet. I gotta go. I can't
playing
come.
Dixieland
to
jazz.
I can't come except the Oscar. Fucking, he won every Oscar for Annie Hall.
And
he couldn't come
playing Dixieland jazz
because he's too fucking busy playing Dixieland jazz.
Yeah.
I hate that. Okay. And you know, I get on your case for being a picky eater. Woody is the picky eater of film. Right.
Right. It's the same conventions over and over.
It's
and,
the, yeah, right. It's yeah, like, yeah. And no great. And I really thought about it, and I'm like. Okay, people have their stamps. They have their signature, right? Martin Scorsese, you can tell it's a Martin Scorsese film.
Sure, yeah.
But he also made The Age of Innocence.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
sure.
There's a variance in his craft, okay?
He made The Aviator, which is...
He made The
Aviator.
He
made stuff,
He made Raging Bull does not look like Wise Guys.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he made...
Goodfellas, yeah.
Goodfellas, excuse
me. Wise Guys is with Joe Piscopo.
Right.
And Danny DeVito.
Tremendous. Wonderful movie. But, no, good, you know what I'm saying? You can tell that there are signature parts of a Kubrick.
Yeah.
Right? Look at the diversity of themes and topics that Kubrick did.
Yeah.
He made Barry Lyndon, he made good Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah,
he
sure.
made, you know, Eyes Wide Shut. A variance of styles that Kubrick
Doctor
didn't
Strangelove.
Use the same goddamn titles every movie. He used titles and music that were appropriate for the fucking films he made.
Yeah, that's true.
Kubrick used a lot of classical scores.
He did, but yeah,
he also
I mean,
used
it was
pop music in The Shining.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
And, you know, he, or in Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah, in
like,
Full Metal Jacket.
They're listening to fucking Vietnam music in Full Metal Jacket. Woody, it's all, nope, if it was written after 1942, I don't want any part of it.
Yeah.
I have had enough.
Yeah, no,
it's not okay. Kurosawa, this is a great filmmaker. His shit looks different.
Yeah.
He made different films. He made period pieces.
Yeah,
he made modern movies. Woody, I want to strangle that little Altacocker.
These guys made. He's made a lot of good stuff. I mean,
but his shit now. Take another thing. He makes one every year.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's
yeah. Why make one every year?
It's April, so it's time to start shooting a film, and. Take a year off, Woods.
Yeah, you think, like, whatever he's got written, like, maybe write two scripts and then figure out which one's better and then make that movie. Don't just write the script and then go make the movie. Mm-hmm. Like maybe take a little bit. I don't know. Well, anyway. But the Woody Allen documentary I want to plug to everybody is great if you've never seen that. I think that's on Netflix. So if you have Netflix, you can watch that whole thing. It's great, so. They shoot Midnight in Paris. You get to see some of that in that documentary. It's a good documentary. Very.
Woody's in the point where he's almost like, much like I said, I avowed my distaste for Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's almost the point where I can't love the old stuff anymore because I hate the new stuff.
Because you hate? Yeah, well, it depends. I mean, you could certainly, if you're forced to watch it as you are, then you can get sick of it. But I can... not see a Woody Allen movie for 5 years, and then when I see one, I go, oh, okay.
That's a
this
thing.
Reminds me of Manhattan.
That's
and stuff,
a thing. I see him every year.
You see him every year, and you see him the same.
And this one's frustrating because he has good performances, and he actually moves the camera sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, they shot it in California.
Oh.
Yeah.
Look out.
It's in San Francisco.
Oh, my goodness.
Which he probably hasn't been to San Francisco since, you know, 1963.
Play It Again Sam was shot in San Francisco.
Yeah, I played The Hungry Eye with Mort Saul in 1958. You know, like, he hasn't been out there in whatever, but he went out to San Francisco and shot this movie.
Good.
Looks great. Looks wonderful. It's got those stupid rinky-dink little titles. It's got the stupid rinky-dink Dixieland jazz music, which has no connection to the story. People talk like they've never fucking been outside their house.
Yeah.
The lead characters met while Blue Moon was playing.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's had one black guy in his movies in 25 years.
Who was the black guy?
He was in Melinda and Melinda.
It was played
by Chiwetel Ejiofor.
I can't even
pronounce that guy's name.
Yeah.
Great actor.
Okay.
Character's name? Ellis Moonglow.
Of course.
The fuck is Ellis Moonglow? Like, if you came from Jupiter and you'd never met a black person before. Sure. You'd guess their name was Ellis Moonglow.
Yeah, but most guys.
If your only exposure to African American culture was Amos and Andy, you might expect the guy to be named Ellis Goddamn Moonglow.
Did he meet him at the fishing hole? Like, where did he meet this
fucking
guy?
All right, although we have a guy running for office in Detroit for mayor named Benny Napoleon.
Yeah, that is true.
Is there any other place where a guy could be named Benny Napoleon? Doesn't that sound like a cartoon gangster? Doesn't it sound like Bugs Bunny should be like, look here, Benny Napoleon. I'm the new boss in town, hey? See?
He was a cop, Benny Napoleon.
I know, but it just sounds, he sounds like a hoodlum.
It is sort of one of those, like, you know,
nobody named Benny is on the up and up, all
right?
That's a tout at a racetrack.
But Napoleon means that, like, you're from royalty. Like, whoever, you know, like, it's not like, you're not Johnson because you're, you know.
Right,
anyway.
Right.
Let's move on. Now, I saw a movie on Netflix that I want to plug, and this is a couple years old. And speaking of, you know, directors who can become cliche, this is a documentary by Werner Herzog.
Oh, okay.
The
texting one?
No, this is called Happy People.
Okay.
And I don't think this one got a lot of press when it came out. It's about a village in Siberia. Mm. And I guess the claim of the movie is these people are happy even though they have nothing. Because it's basically a bunch of guys who are trappers.
Okay.
And they live off the land. And they live on a river that's frozen over for 8 months a year and stuff.
Yeah.
And you just watch this guy go out and like set his traps to catch sables. And they have dogs that they raise and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it was pretty fascinating because it's like here's people with like, they have two modern conveniences. They have snowmobiles.
Okay.
And they have chainsaws.
Okay.
And that helps them do their job. But they don't have, like, electricity and running water or any of that shit. And they have families and the whole thing, and they have sons that help them, that go on and become trappers themselves. And then it's like, and then the thing is, you know, like, they're in Siberia, and then there's indigenous people. So there's, like, Russian white guys. And then there's, like, the real guys from Siberia who are, like, Chinese looking, like, they're Asian looking. And they're all drunk, and they blame the Russians for bringing in vodka. It's really pretty great. It's Happy People. I recommend that.
Well, you know,
it's a bunch of guys living off the land. If you like Survivor Man or something like that, you'll kind of like this because you watch a guy build his hut. Like, they spend all year preparing for the winter. So in the summer, they're chopping down trees to, like, make firewood. And then they have to get these huts together because what they'll do is they'll go out trapping, okay? So they'll take their dogs. They'll go out trapping in the day. But rather than going out trapping and coming back to the hut, they have multiple huts. And in a day, they'll travel from one hut to the other hut. And then on day two, they'll travel from that hut to the third hut and then to the fourth hut.
It's not like you got a mortgage.
Right, exactly. Well, the guys, they have to build these huts.
Just stay where you're at.
Right, and they build these huts out of, like, logs, and then they take, like, moss to be the mortar and the insulation. It's really amazing. So, and, of course, you get that great Werner Herzog, you know, his voiceover, which is great.
And then they...
Which I've seen parody videos of that now, but you know.
There is a fleeting glimpse of a fox.
Yeah, that is it.
As it patrols the boundary of the tree line.
Yeah.
Life is hard.
Yeah.
In Siberia.
Yeah.
Cold. Ever colder.
I can pull the movie up and
like the hearts that are lost in the wait for spring.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
What does the fox think in its mind? Is the fox dreaming? It is a greater animal, perhaps a prehistoric beast.
There's not so much about the fox. It's more about the guy.
There's a scene in... he did a movie about the caves of Lascaux. He did...
Cave of Forgotten Dreams.
Prehistoric cave paintings.
Yeah.
And he did this whole thing. And there's a scene... This is the crazy stuff in Werner Herzog's mind. He cuts to, like, up river from these caves is, like, a nuclear power plant.
Yeah.
And apparently the offshoot from it is they dump all the hot water
out
of this thing, and so it's now created a tropical, like,
A hot spring, yeah. Sort
of yeah, so they created a kind of man-made hot, environment for this, like, hot water, and now there's, like, gators in it. And he's like, and they're like, what is the gator thinking?
That was a good movie.
Ah, his dreams. What are his dreams like? You know, he just stops to discuss the dreams of an alligator.
Well,
you're like, what the fuck are you talking about?
But this in this one, it's like, they must put their food up high to keep the bears away. And the you know, because if you saw Grizzly Man, he talks about the bears and he pronounces it funny. And he says it 8,000 times. And there's a lot of bear talk in this thing because the bears are going to eat their food if they don't put their food way up high. The bears, it's really a great movie. So Happy People.
The bear.
I recommend
cares not for human struggles. He is a ruthless arbiter of forest justice. Never happy, always seeking.
Yeah.
But placated by a picnic basket.
Somebody did
If you only could give the bear a picnic basket, perhaps he would leave you to your sad, sad life in the wilderness.
Why can't the park ranger?
You must dig holes in the cold dirt to fuck them. With your mechanical sex making, as you hump the hard, cold dirt, there are no women in Siberia. Okay.
Somebody made a documentary.
We're gonna do a whole show as Werner Herzog.
Somebody went like I don't even know. Maybe I just heard about this, or somebody did like Werner Herzog goes to the Gathering of the Juggalos, where they did, you know, they took like gathering documentary footage and put Werner Herzog's.
That I might have to watch.
Yeah, I don't know where that is. You can go look for that. But anyway, we can talk about the gathering, or do you want to talk about something else? Do you want to talk about?
I'd love to talk about anything else.
Yeah, I know. No, let me tell you this story. So here's a weird story. If you look above me, Corey, if you look above in this very studio,
I am always looking above you.
Yeah, no, this is
I'm Werner looking Herzog. Into the stars. To see all the cosmic magic.
Well, okay, so I'd be in this room, and for weeks I heard, like, a weird noise coming from, like, the ceiling. And I was like, what the fuck is this noise, right? Mm-hmm. And then I went away for the Gathering of Juggalos. So this has been, like, 3 weeks I heard this maybe for the first time or whatever.
Okay.
And I when I got back, I said, I have to investigate this noise. It hasn't gone away. I actually went up on the roof to look to see if there was, like, squirrels up there or something.
Mm-hmm.
The roof seemed fine, no problems. So then I was, like, sitting here, and then I could just... The noise was so loud, I was like, I must have a mouse in my ceiling. That was what I came... That was
okay.
The conclusion I came to. There's a mouse in the ceiling. So I set a mouse trap in my crawl space, which is nowhere near the ceiling, but, you know, I was trying to do anything. So I set this mouse trap. I set the mouse trap. Next day, I still hear the noise. So I go, okay, I didn't catch the mouse. How can I do it? Then I go, I've got these, like, lights. They're, like, can lights here that you see in the ceiling. And I thought if I could maybe take the can light out, I could put some poison up there to kill this mouse. I'm like, I have this mouse. It sounds like a mouse eating away at my house, you know. So I'm up there on a ladder, and I'm looking at the light, and I'm investigating, and I see a little crack in this. This is a textured ceiling in this room here.
There's a mouse.
Yeah, exactly.
That
get ready, Werner.
Your house.
This is better than that, Werner. Wait, you got to hear this.
No.
So I see a little crack.
I love stories.
I see a little crack in the plaster. So I push my finger through the thing, and my finger goes right through the ceiling. I pull my finger out,
This is an alarming turn of events.
This is there, a stream, like a faucet of water.
Really?
Of wasps comes out of my ceiling.
Really?
And into the
Where
studio.
Was this?
It was like right there. You see right over there?
I'm getting out of here.
No. I'm going to tell
Holy
you. No. For who knows how long this fucking wasp. So there's a hive of wasps that have destroyed the plaster in my ceiling.
Oh man!
And so these stream of wasps come out. Now, fortunately, I keep a can of wasp killer, which is like a really long like wasp and hornet killer. It has a really like long stream that comes out of it, you know. And I had a can under the sink, so I shut the door and I ran out and got it. And they started buzzing around the lamp here and the ceiling, and they all started flying to the window. So I had about 40 wasps in here flying around, and I start spraying everything with the stuff. And then I go up to the hole, and I spray the killer right into the hole.
Wow.
And then a bunch of, like, now half-dead wasps are falling out of the hole.
Half-dead wasps. But are wasps really ever alive? Do wasps dream of a better life?
So then I go...
Are they not just strange simulacrums of real life?
The Wasp only want to live in Joel's ceiling. If they could only live in the Joel Radio Studio.
Wasps do not love their families.
And then
like
I got
humans do.
And then I got the vacuum cleaner to like suck. I put the vacuum cleaner attachment on, and I start sucking the hole, and I can hear wasps.
What are you, the Ghostbusters?
I hear wasps being sucked into the vacuum cleaner, and then the wasp.
Hold on. While you're doing this, what was Shemp doing? Was Shemp on the other ladder?
So then I'm doing this, and then the vacuum cleaner attachment picks up a big hunk of. I got a big hunk of hive attached to the end of the vacuum cleaner attachment. It was insane. My whole like ceiling was infested with wasps. It was the craziest thing. Now what you see up there is what I did is I went out and I bought a can of spray foam insulation.
Really?
And I basically now just took that and I got as much of the hive out as I could. I still couldn't get it all because I didn't want to make a bigger hole. That's like a, what would you call that, a baseball-sized hole, would you say?
Yeah, pretty much.
I took spray foam and I spray foamed the inside of it. And then I cut it flush with the ceiling and I've got to get some spackling and a little patch piece to fix it. And I also went outside with spray foam, and I sprayed the gaps in the siding. Because what I think is they were coming in from the outside, obviously. But, they were literally, like, millimeters away from bursting through the ceiling. Imagine you're just sitting here in a fucking thing of wasps. I mean, I when I poked my finger in there, I was like, well, at least I knew what happened, and I got rid of it. So,
I did have squirrels in my, like, squirrels in my house one, like, in the rafters.
Which house was this?
It was in Royal Oak.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they had gotten in like under the like right at the arch of the roof.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was like a grate.
Okay.
That was ventilation.
And they
had eaten through that and gotten in there. And so I've
it's
heard
warm
that,
in there.
I've heard the shit, but I would hear the shit
and
in
it's,
the
it's
house.
It's scary, yeah.
And you're like
yeah. And I heard that, but it was fucking wasps. Holy shit.
See, a mouse the mouse honestly isn't going to really ever like harm you.
Yeah.
The mouse will be a runaway if
you
put a flashlight on it. The wasps don't give a shit.
Wasps are fucking angry. But, you know, they were so confused when I broke through that. They just wanted to fly out, so they were flying towards the light, hence the lamp and the window. And the window's closed because the air conditioning's hooked up. So
yeah, that's...
But that was fucking super scary,
that's
man.
It's jacked up, dude.
That was super scary. And for weeks I heard this noise, had no idea what it was. And sure enough, I kept the wasps out, though. But I've spray foamed. I was on a ladder spray foaming
How are we to know that you are not an invader on the wasps' territory? Perhaps the primordial wasps of old were the rulers of Ferndale, Michigan.
Verner.
Perhaps the wasp has ancestors and the thousands of his kin have been laid to waste by your indiscriminate application of raid.
No, it was pretty scary, man. Okay. And it's funny because I Google it. And
I was
going to
go
like,
lowbrow with the references, and we just did 20 minutes on Verner's.
I Google it, and it's like very common, apparently, for wasps to get into like ceilings and stuff.
Wow.
And I was like, fuck all that, man. That was some scary shit. So
I heard Werner Herzog's doing a documentary on hip-hop and why it sucks now.
Is he really? No.
I don't know why. How do you reconcile an artist like Gucci Mane with the history of rape? He is no Afrika Bambaataa. He is but a pale.
People have to, you know,
reflection.
If you've never heard a Werner Herzog documentary, you're just not getting any of this. Like, just nothing.
I know. Whatever.
A good solid 30 minutes of your
That's
life.
That's fine. I don't care. I'll keep doing a Werner Herzog.
Corey will do that. Do it on stage. See how that goes. See how that flies.
I do not understand the videos today. The booties do not pop, nor do they clip.
They don't, no.
They no longer clip.
Why do the cars not bounce anymore?
There is the hollow echo. Where once there was the clapping of booties. Now there's nothing but the dreadful mechanical auto-tune and the screams of, yeah! I'm going to do that on stage. There you go.
There you go.
Huh?
Why
don't the booties clap anymore? All right. 610-552-0746. Let's talk about your favorite Werner Herzog movie. Is it Aguirre, Wrath of God? Is it... he now does documentaries primarily, but he used to be known more for making insane movies.
Well, he made that
Klaus
movie...
Kinski.
But he made that movie where... what's his name? Rescue Dawn.
Which he had made as a documentary. He took his documentary.
Oh, that's right. He made a documentary about
that guy. It was called Little Dieter Learns to Fly.
Okay. Yeah,
and he took that and made a new, which was great.
That was a great movie.
Rescue Dawn, it's fantastic.
Yeah, Rescue Dawn is fucking great. So
yeah, with Christian Bale and Steve Zahn.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff. So anyway, speaking of movies, you know, I'm on a streak here with movies.
Oh, are you?
I'm on a streak of seeing almost nothing. I watched that fucking awful movie with Tenney the one night.
The Conjuring?
The Conjuring, which, by the way, apparently our review of The Conjuring didn't permeate the public the public.
No
at
one
large.
Cared. No.
No one cared. Everyone went to that and said how great it was.
Well,
and
everybody I honestly, of all the movies, so I was trying to explain to my my film group why this job kind of sucks.
Yeah.
People come up to, and they go, why? They were asking me about some movie and they're like, why aren't people watching this?
Yeah.
Like Fruitvale Station or something. And they're like, okay, why aren't people watching this? I'm like, well, it's kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
And this is the movie. These are the movies that the average man comes up to me on the street if they recognize me from TV.
Yeah.
And they go, or people I know, did you see Grown Ups 2? What'd you think of that? Was that good? Was that funny? Grown Ups 2? Did you see The Conjuring? That looks scary. People are dolts.
Oy,
they're
vey.
Not bright. Doesn't matter if they're black or white. Latinos, Chinese, they're all dummies. It's all right.
Okay. It's like a musical episode of Joy Radio with Corey Hall singing every minute. Yeah, but people love that Conjuring.
Shucking and
driving. What the fuck is this?
I know. Well, you know why? You know why? Because people.
Why?
Oh, okay. None of that, please.
I know. I'm sorry.
The audio form on that.
Yeah, that looks good. Look how fucking.
That was like the wounded scream of a primal cave bear that has been speared by an ancestral hunter on the tundra. fucking, I could do Werner all
unbelievable.
Day. Anyway, look, people are dumb. They don't go to the movies. You and I go to the movies for different reasons.
Yeah.
You and I go to the movies to see great filmmaking.
Sure.
We want to see craftsmanship.
Yeah.
And generally, I go to the movies because I want to go somewhere I haven't been.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I've never been to Tokyo. I want to go see what that's like.
All right.
I've never been to Rio de Janeiro. Take me there.
Sure.
I've never been to Arrakis. So take me there with the spice. The melange.
Sure.
The House of Atreides. Teach me about the Fremen. Anyway. Okay, Dune was not a good movie, but still what I'm saying is, you know what I mean? I go to movies for something else. Most people go to the movies because they want to be distracted for an hour and a half. And they don't care if Adam Sandler hasn't fucking written a joke in 20 years.
Right.
They don't care. They just want to go, Conjuring, man, that looks good and scary.
Yeah, I'm scared.
I've never wanted to go to a movie and be scared. Never.
Right.
I mean, there's horror movies I like. I like horror movies for other reasons.
Yeah, I guess.
I kind of like horror movies because they're... horror movies and science fiction movies both tend to carry a satirical or political workload.
Yeah.
They're generally about other things.
Yeah,
not
exactly,
always.
Right.
A lot of them are just slasher movies.
Yeah.
But sometimes they're about social issues and they hide it. And I like that aspect of horror movies. But I never go to a movie and go, man, I just want to be fucking scared. Because you know what? I live in America. I'm fucking terrified every day.
Yeah, there's lots of things.
I get in my car and drive and I realize most of these sub-mental fucking morons behind their cars are going to crash into a wall. And I don't know, these old farts, they're going to stroke out and kill me on the road. That's enough. I don't need any fucking ghosts. Did you get a text?
No, I'm just listening to Corey writing stand-up.
I know, I really
on the show.
I really am.
You're singing and doing stand-up for almost exclusively today.
You know.
On the show. But no, your point is that, like, The Conjuring you've seen a million times. It's the same fucking story.
It's a same movie.
It's a ghost story. It's been done a million times. And I think the fact that it reminds people of other movies is a lot of why people like this.
Okay. So. I realize this about myself. I always want to try the new flavor of Oreo.
Yeah.
I want to go to a restaurant I haven't been to before. I mean, there's restaurants I like that I'll go back to. Yeah. But I want to try the new place if it opens up.
Yeah.
I feel that I'm kind of a guy that likes novelty.
Yeah.
I can't believe I got married for that reason. But still, I'm a kind of guy that likes diversity and novelty.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't. A lot of people are like fucking 4-year-olds.
They just
and
want.
My, you know, my 4-year-old nephew wants the same book every night.
Sure.
And that's what people want. They want shit they don't. They don't.
They want it to be easily summarized in a couple sentences.
Well, and the other problem is that when your job is being a film critic, you want difference. You want novelty. You want something you haven't seen before.
Yeah.
Other people go to movies because they don't want to have to think.
Yeah, they want that comfort food. They want, you know, something they can, they know what's going to happen. They don't want to have to think too much.
Yeah.
They don't want to be too smart. Occasionally people find like a smart movie and they'll just go, everyone will go like, oh, Memento.
Right.
That's amazing. That's mm-hmm. the, you know, and then you're going to go, okay.
Inception. They all thought they were geniuses.
Yeah,
for
well, Inception was a good movie.
But ever, that was a smart, a reasonably smart movie that everybody congratulated.
That was still accessible, yeah.
They
yeah.
all congratulated themselves for liking it.
Yeah.
You know? But
because you know, I try to describe movies like I was telling a friend to watch Exit Through the Gift Shop. He got Netflix, and I go, Exit sure. Through the Gift Shop. Cue that right up. Mm-hmm. What's it about? Fucking try to describe Exit Through the Gift Shop. You kind of go, well, it's a documentary about graffiti artists, and people go, well, that sounds fucking lame. And I go, well, that's not exactly what it's about, but it is.
Are you saying that
it is a documentary about graffiti artists? But that's not what it. You know what I mean? It's
you're saying it's a metafictural, hypertextual exploration.
Yeah.
Of the disparity between commerce and art.
Yes, and nobody knows what that means.
And so you tell them that, and they look at you like, uh-huh.
And no one gets that description, and that description sounds horrible to people. Anyway.
I know.
And they go, oh, that sounds horrible. Meanwhile, it's a great movie that you don't have to be smart to enjoy. But you would, you know.
You have to be smart to explain it, though.
You have to be smart to want to watch it. Yeah, you have to go like, oh, yeah. I figured out this is a good movie. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
But people watch a bunch of garbage. So anyway.
They do. They watch Adam Sandler. They watch the new fucking whatever the new.
Whoever's getting kicked in the nuts. Somebody's going
to,
you know.
I swear to God, Idiocracy is maybe one of the best movies ever made. Because
really?
It looks like the world more every day. Oh, my nuts. Ow, my nuts is going to be the top rated TV show in about 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, it really does look like a fucking genius work of fiction. You go, wow, we're getting dumber every
day.
We are
a dumb people.
Ugh, we're so stupid.
All right.
I know, because people are watching Swamp People.
Swamp People. They're watching Duck Dynasty.
I would fucking never want to be in a room with those hillbillies.
Yeah.
And instead, they got to watch that like it's the best show you've ever seen.
Yeah.
All right, depressing. Anything
yeah,
else?
Sorry. I mean, I don't know. Do you want to
wrap
about
this on a high
I mean,
note?
I wasn't around because I went to the gathering, but you don't need to hear all those dumb stories. But
who
you
was
hear,
it? Was Jim Norton all right?
Yeah, the comics were Jim Norton. The big there was a guy named Dante Nero, who was he was a good guy, but he wasn't famous and he didn't really.
I'm not familiar with him.
His claim to I guess is he did a podcast for a long time with Patrice O'Neill.
Oh, okay.
And he was his partner, and there's a big controversy about some people had ripped off Dante and Patrice O'Neill and made like their own like YouTube videos.
Oh, I saw
you know
there
that
was
controversy?
I saw there was a guy that was like
that's Dante Nero. Yeah, that's Dante. And I wish I'll get Dante on the show because we exchanged numbers and stuff.
Well,
and
so
Dante,
he was doing Patrice's stuff, and then
some young white guy was doing Patrice's stuff.
Oh,
but it was
there was a black guy I saw that was doing Patrice's stuff.
Okay, maybe it's
said,
a black guy. I forget if it's a white guy,
and then
but it's a young
like,
guy who's doing Patrice's stuff.
And then he was like, "Well, I'm doing that as a tribute."
Yeah, yeah, that's the whole
story.
That
was his attempt.
Yeah, Dante gave me the whole story, and it's too long to. But it was on Huffington Post, and I guess it got a lot of play. But Dante is the guy that's sort of responsible for that. He's going after these guys for ripping off Patrice.
Well, good for him.
Because he was Patrice's partner in a long time. I mean, he was a good comic, but you know, he wasn't a huge draw there. Then we had Jim Norton, who was probably the biggest draw of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you've heard Jim, that's what he did. It was very funny. Jim came in. Well, first of all, Jim shows up. He gets out of his car, and he's got a driver.
Yeah.
And maybe you don't know who this guy is, but I look at him. He goes, "Hey, I'm Ken." And I look right at him, and I go, "Well, you're fucking Club Soda Kenny." And he's like, "Yeah." Do you know who Club Soda Kenny is? Do you remember Club
No.
Soda? Club Soda Kenny was like Dice's security guy in like the heyday of Dice. Because Kenny would go on like Stern with Dice.
Right.
And they'd always do shtick about, he'd always do shtick with Club Soda.
Okay.
And he was a guy, I guess he ended up doing stand-up eventually, but you know, he's like an ex-cop. He's a real serious like big dude, you know?
Dice always has some guy like, "This is Boomer."
Yeah, everybody's got a nickname.
Club Soda Kenny.
Yeah, so he had Club Soda Kenny
wheels.
With him.
Now he's got
he had wheels.
Wheels
and Club Soda Kenny. So Club Soda Kenny is driving Jim, and I go, "Okay, cool, Club Soda Kenny's here. That's cool.
This is my driver, Werner."
Yeah.
"Thank you, Dice Man. It is a pleasure to drive for you. Even though I am not American native, I've learned how to drive in your country.
Yes.
By obeying the stop signs."
So Club Soda Kenny's there, and you know he was. I mean, like not the Club Soda Kenny's a barrel of laughs, but I was honored to meet him because I know he knows where the bodies are buried. You know, that's why Jim's working with him.
I mean, that's a guy that would be interesting to talk
right,
to.
Right? Yeah. So you know he's seen it all and stuff. Jim, so he was driving Jim around, and Jim came in. I put them both on a golf cart, drove him around. We watched some of Twisted Set.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went up and did the show, and it was very funny. He killed, and then he had to fly out early in the morning. But Jim had a great show. So it was cool hanging out with Jim. And then the next night we had Charlie Murphy.
Charlie Murphy.
Charlie Murphy, brother of Eddie.
Yeah.
And apparently the Gallagher 2 of Eddie Murphy almost. It's sort of like, but Charlie came in, and here's Charlie's thing, because here's the one thing that was kind of odd with Charlie, I'll be honest with you. I get, like, there's boxes and boxes of Charlie Murphy merchandise that we're supposed to sell for Charlie, okay? But there's, like, no, like, I run this tent where the comedy is, but there's nowhere to sell merchandise. Mm-hmm. We're not set up. We have a merchandise tent, but it's on the other side of the festival. It's not there, but we're supposed to sell it there. There's supposed to be a VIP area if you buy merchandise for Charlie Murphy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, maybe he's bringing a guy to do it. And they're like, no, he's not bringing a guy. You have to get a guy. So we had to get one of the merch sellers to come set up a makeshift merchandise stand.
Well, that is maybe something you would think that they would have as a merch table at the comedy table.
It's just not set up that way. If you go there, you would realize this isn't really where you want to sell merchandise. But anyway, so he does this whole thing. So I go, and my point, and that wasn't against his merchandise, but it literally was like six items. It was a giant list of shit. But anyway, my point was that I thought...
Oh, he was selling like pacifiers and barbecue sauce.
I'll tell you exactly what it was. It was books. He has a book that he wrote. There were DVDs, T-shirts, 8x10 photos, and maybe CDs. I'm trying to remember. It was a lot of stuff. But my feeling was like, okay, so Eddie...
Charlie Murphy's thong.
So Charlie's going to show
Who
up.
Who wants a thong?
So my feeling is Charlie's going to show up and be a giant pain in the ass. That's what I'm thinking. The whole time I'm waiting for Charlie to show up. Charlie's going to show up and be a big pain in the ass. So he shows up. He's got an opener with him, a guy named Freeze Love, who was a nice guy. And I say to Charlie, I go, Charlie, I'm here to,
Isn't that an interesting
thanks,
concept?
Yeah, it's very, Werner's very
If only to... we could freeze love and keep it forever in its icy prison, only to be thawed out in times of crisis. Yeah.
So I say to Charlie, I go, there's no opportunity to not do Werner Herzog. Everything goes back to... So I say, okay, Charlie, he shows up. I go, Charlie, what can I get? And I don't think he's going to care that I tell the story. So Charlie, what
he's not going to hear it.
I go, Charlie, what can I get you? And he goes, you can get me weed. So I go, all right. So I grab a couple kids from inside. I go, look, Charlie Murphy needs weed. Yeah. He got weed. Goes, Charlie. So next thing you know, Charlie's surrounded by a bunch of kids with weed. Yeah. All right. And Charlie goes, does a show, Freeze Love opens, and Freeze Love was in House Party 3. I forget what his role it was.
Really?
He somehow had some role in House Party 3 that you're supposed to know, and he was on Mr. Show doing something. And I don't know what he did,
House Party 3 was inferior to House Party 2.
Well, which one did Werner direct? Which one did you direct, Werner?
House Party 2, Pajama Jam and Jam.
Yeah, that was yours.
This was a fine film. I was proud to be associated.
And so the show ends. And Charlie's in the... We go back to the trailer.
Martin Lawrence was a total diva when we made the film.
Oh, was he really? Yes. Oh, I didn't realize.
It's very difficult to work with.
Sorry to hear that.
His artistic standards were very demanding.
I'm in the trailer. I'm settling up with Charlie, and the show's over. He had a nice show. I mean, you know, he smoked a lot of kids' bongs on stage. That was pretty much the show. And I didn't even hear...
That was the show?
As much of the show as I wanted to because I was setting up for something else. But anyway, so the show's over, and Charlie goes, look, and he's got, like, his driver, who was just some limo driver, and he goes, look, I can't smoke it. I'm staying at a hotel in Evansville, Indiana. He goes, I can't smoke at the hotel, so are you okay if I just sit in here and smoke?
Mm-hmm.
And I go, yeah. And he pulls out bags and bags of pot that, like, kids have given him. And him and Freeze Love proceeded to just roll up joint after joint.
Wow.
And the three of us sat in that trailer and got so fucking high.
I can't imagine.
For, like, an hour.
Tell the story, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, it was great. Charlie just wanted to fucking smoke all his weed. And we sat in a trailer for an hour and laughed our asses off.
So
it was a lot of fun. So I had a great time.
Charlie Murphy was on Fox 2 a couple weeks ago because he was in town playing the Comedy Zone.
Yeah,
and I talked to him for like a set. You know, I didn't get a lot of. Charlie's got a lot of guys around him.
Yeah.
Like, you know, much like Dice.
Maybe Freeze Love was there. I'm not sure.
Yeah, probably Freeze Love was there. Yeah. And he had a bunch of guys around him. So I talked to Charlie for like a second.
Yeah.
But he seemed a little out of it.
He's probably
he seemed a
guy.
Little spacey. And then his interview was kind of...
Was it weird?
His interview was weird.
Yeah, he was funny,
and then,
though.
And then DC Curry was in like 2 weeks after Charlie was there.
Yeah.
And the host was like reading the list of people that had been on that couch. They were getting, they were changing the set.
Oh my goodness.
And they were getting rid of the couch.
Yeah.
So he was like, well, you know, he's like, DC, you're like the last guy on this couch with like, you know, he listed all these people and he's like, you know, Charlie Murphy. Or he's like, all these famous people have been on this couch, DC. Yeah. Charlie Murphy. And he goes, is Charlie Murphy famous? And I thought that was the funny. I thought that was the greatest line.
Nah, he was funny. He was real funny to hang out with. I had a good time with Charlie and Freeze Love. Those guys were cool. So that was fun. And then the sad thing at the gathering, which, you know, as you would imagine, the eternal sadness that hangs over the place, was a guy who's really one of the nicest guys in the world and a friend of mine. I'm proud to call him my friend. A guy named Necro Butcher. I wasn't trying to do a comedy bit out of that, but Dylan Summers, also known as Necro Butcher. There was a...
All right.
Werner, tell us about Necro Butcher.
Well,
tell us about...
Necro Butcher reminds me of the early work of the incredible Charlie... I have never seen such a stark artist since Stan Brakhage.
Yeah.
He is incredible, the Necro Butcher.
Yes.
The way he can both butcher and necro. He does this with incredible flair.
So the Necro Butcher, they were doing a match. It was a no rope lumberjack weapons match where Necro Butcher was taking on JCW legend The Rude Boy.
Oh,
who's my friend as well.
I'm not a fan of his work.
You're not a fan of Rude Boy, Werner?
No, Rude Boy is a piece of shit.
Was he not nice to you?
Well, he was in fact a rude boy.
Was he rude to you?
He actually lived up to... Strangely enough, he lived up to his appellation and was in fact rude.
Was he? But he wasn't that young, I'm guessing. He was probably a little...
He was a rude old man. And I find, while the Necro Butcher has the soul of a poet, the Rude Boy is slightly unfortunate in his presentation.
Now, Rudy, first of all, Rudy's the shit. Rudy's my friend, man. I don't want him to hear this and think I'm dissing him. Rude Boy's my buddy and a good friend.
You're not dissing him. I'm dissing him.
No, Werner Herzog is dissing
Rudy,
him.
Rudy, you're a pile of shit.
No, Rudy's great. I'm going to have Rudy in here one day. Rudy's
boy. Well,
he's from Detroit. He's from the Southwest side. We love Rudy. But anyway, so they're doing this match. And even if you don't know wrestling, if you saw the movie The Wrestler, the guy who gives Mickey Rourke the heart attack in that movie is Necro Butcher, just so you know. So he played himself, basically, in that movie and did a good job. But anyway, they're doing this match, and it was like, you know, Necro Butcher gets pulled off. He has a really long beard, like a Duck Dynasty kind of beard. And Rude Boy pulls him by his beard. He goes off the ring apron and through a steel chair. And his leg hits this chair. And it makes this terrible noise, and I'm up on the ramp with DJ Clay, who's, you know, playing the music, and I'm ring announcing. I'm there to announce the winner. And I turn to him, and I go, that was a loud noise, and I don't think that was just the chair breaking. And sure enough, he rolls back in the ring and immediately says, you know, pin me, whatever. And he gets pinned, and you can see that his leg is clearly broken, and there's blood gushing out of his calf. Mm. So the bone has pierced his skin.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah, and blood is pouring out. And I immediately ran to the back and called for the EMTs. But, you know, the thing about it, Necro Butcher's like the toughest guy.
Yeah.
And he had to be, like, carried out of the ring and put on a board and, like, restrained and then put on, like, a chopper to get him out of the gathering because he fucked up his leg that bad. So.
Really?
Yeah, so we are raising money for Necro Butcher. There's actually I'll link to it on the if you read the description on joelradio.net, go over there and I'll put a link to where you can send money to Necro Butcher. I think he's looking. His wife is trying to raise about $2,500 for his medical expenses.
That's a pretty nasty. I mean, and obviously as a wrestler, he's going to probably need that.
Right,
leg.
And he had like what I heard is he had tours of Japan lined up where he was going to get paid really good money, and he's not going to be able to do those because of his leg. So he's really out a lot of dough. So we're trying to raise money to cover Necro's. Broken leg. It was really sad. And, you know, he was backstage and the whole show had to stop because, you know, no one could get in and out of the ring, you know, because of him being in. And I just looked at him and I'll be honest, man, I was like crying. It was sad, dude. It was sad watching a guy, you know, the toughest guy I've ever seen wrestle.
There is no reason for tears.
No?
He is a butcher and the necrotic butcher at it. He stalks the cemeteries to find cadavers.
Oh, no, I think that's just a professional wrestling gimmick.
No, no, it's true.
It is a professional wrestling.
This is honest to God. No, it's... I know that Jimmy Superfly Snooker was, in fact, a chieftain.
Was he really?
Of the Samoan Islands.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yes, and he lived in deep in the jungles and subsisted only on raw fish and coconuts.
Are you telling me that Shane Hurricane Helms is actually a superhero?
Yes.
Because he was there as well. No, he is?
He has a heightened superhuman.
I didn't realize
His metabolism is really? Okay. Very fast. It's like a mongoose.
Because he was there. Fast, and
he is resistant to many poisons.
Yeah, so that was very sad what happened to Necro Butcher. I felt bad.
Did you know that the Moondoggy is also
the Moondoggs,
a feral hillbilly
I didn't realize
from
that.
From Appalachia. And he killed the bear with his own hands. That is why he's called the Moondoggy, because his family has a history of lycanthropy.
Well, there's multiple Moondoggs. There are multiple Moondoggs.
Oh, well, it's like...
Rex and Spot, and then I think there was another, like a third Moondog.
Well, lycanthropes travel together in a pack, wolves.
Oh, good.
Yes, they're like wolves in a pack, right. And they travel together.
All right, well, I think that's enough show. So help Necro Butcher heal his leg and... pay for his medical expenses, because that was bad. And I know a lot of juggalos listen to these shows after the gathering. They want to hear my thoughts. They want to hear Werner Herzog impressions for 90 minutes. But hey, you never know what you're going to get with Joel Radio. So thank you for listening, everybody.
Good
and 610-552-0746 if you want to leave your thoughts and comments. You can also leave a comment on the front page of joelradio.net.
Next week, Jean-Luc Godard will stop by.
Yes, we'll do
impressions of him.
Yes.
And it'll be good.
We're going to have the guy from Man on Wire who walked across. We'll have that fucking Frenchie on.
Thank you.
And he can talk
about... I wish I could think of the guy's name.
Yeah, I know. That guy's funny, too. That guy talks funny, too. But
oh, God.
Anyway, I guess that's it, right? Anything else you want to say? Anything you want to plug? Are you performing anywhere?
No, it's...
No performing for
Clark. I'll be out of town this weekend.
I'm going to see The Replacements this weekend in Toronto.
Well,
so I'm super excited. The first show in 22 years.
Let's make a big announcement about it.
Of The Replacements. Well, I actually did make a big announcement months ago.
All right.
But
enjoy that show.
That's this weekend, so I'll be there. I'm also going to see The Replacements in Chicago in about 3 weeks. I'm going to that show as well.
Well, that's wild.
And then September 4th, I'm actually doing comedy in Marietta, Ohio.
I
have no idea what the venue is, but I'll be in Marietta, Ohio in a couple weeks. So
okay.
Maybe. Well, I think we'll do a show before then, so I'll tell you all about it. Then.
All right, then.
And what else can I tell you? Werner, thank you for joining us today.
I would like to come back and review Fruit Root.
Yes, I would like that.
Because that is also a cereal based on lycanthropy.
Yes, I think so.
Which is a real plague.
Affecting
America.
But if for some reason there's a problem with Fruit Root and it doesn't taste the same, I'm sure Werner will get to the bottom of...
Yeah, we'll get right to the bottom
of that. And Corey, of course, thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll read your movie reviews. Just real quick, Elysium, any good? I'm trying to go see because I love District 9.
It works better in the... Well, it's a little heavy-handed, I think.
Yeah.
But District 9's better.
Okay.
But Elysium's not bad. It's all got right. Cool visuals.
Yeah, that's what I want to
pretty
see.
Pretty cool.
So. And I see that. And you didn't even talk about Oprah. I was going to let you talk about Oprah.
Oh, my Christ!
Do you want me to stop the music and we'll talk about Oprah?
I didn't have time for that.
All right, so more Oprah coverage coming up. Believe it or not, I think Corey doesn't like her. I'm talking out my ass now.
It is.
I'm talking out of my ass. But we'll catch you next time on Joel Radio. Thanks a lot, everybody. Goodbye.